Welcome to the Upper Room Discourse. I'm Felipe Marin.
And I'm Dakota Childress. Stay tuned for our discussions on scripture, doctrine, music, and anything else.
Everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Upper Room Discourse.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. This is the last episode of the season.
Yeah.
You don't need to cry. We'll be back for season four.
I thought you were about to like come out with a season four reveal. Where's my sound effect?
the only sound effect we've used all season. Yeah,
it was just funny.
That's hilarious.
No, I thought you were going to have to do like, what is it, the Santa Claus? You better not cry.
Better not pout. I don't even know. Yeah, we're not even at Christmas yet.
We might not be, but we might
better
be
not
towards.
Shout. Better not cry. Better not pout. Because we'll be back for season four.
Is that what it is? Is that what the promo is going to be? That's so funny.
Something like that.
But yeah, it's been, you know, it's been crazy to think about. It's already been, you know, 12 weeks, technically 13 weeks.
Yeah, really. 3 months. And it's kind of just
blown by.
I wish we had a sound effect for that.
I do. But,
oh, do you?
That's a throwback to season one.
Throwback to season one. Not the sound effect I was expecting, but I guess it'll work.
It's. I mean, I've had it in there ever since season one. Oh, is this like the day that we like start pushing all the buttons?
And seeing what sound effects we have.
Yeah.
That's funny. Don't you still have like Notre Dame bells?
I do. We played 2 years, not 2 years ago, like not a year ago, two seasons
that was,
ago.
Yeah, but, that was season one too.
But almost a year now, not quite, but almost a year.
Right, man, that's happened in almost a year.
Yeah,
and I guess this is our Thanksgiving episode week.
Kinda, it's like pre-Christmas, but also like Thanksgiving. And also,
well, I mean,
like,
all of our episodes are pre-Christmas.
Yeah, and it's also like
depending on how you think about it.
It's also like series finale / season finale.
Yeah, I don't even know what this episode really is. I mean, as far as...
It's like an all of the above. I almost was, when I was planning, I was like, is this going to be like a segmented? Not like we're going to segment it, but it's like, we have so many specific things to talk about.
Yeah. So we've got an artist, we've got a book. Christmas is coming up after Thanksgiving because everybody loves food. So who are we talking about today, Felipe?
Well, before we get to that, which if this will come up, so this is kind of like, not really a part two, but it kind of is like a part two to what we looked at week one, not of the season, but week one of the series of controversy. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. So week one, if you remember, 11 weeks ago, we talked about Kanye and the title of that episode, if you go back, is Jesus is King, which is also the title of the album that he, co-produced, put out. With Sunday Service Choir, Jesus is King, of the same album name. There is a song of the same the same name as well. So everything had to do with Kanye, Jesus is King. And we've kind of talked about this whole idea of controversy and, I guess a little bit about who Jesus is. I mean, we shared gospel has been presented a lot. So we have, and, the whole idea, I guess that we've been trying to get at is that Christianity is controversial and that there's a lot of controversial things that have gone on within Christianity in recent years and in recent days and even this year for some things. And so we've just been kind of not really shedding light on things that people might already know about, but bringing up topics of interest and that are of controversy from the past two and a half decades.
Yeah.
And the controversies don't stop there. I mean, there have been controversies in Christianity for the past 2,000 years. And so that's kind of what it's just about, where Christianity is a controversy in and of itself because it goes against what the world wants, desires. It goes against the world's ideologies and, whatever else. It's Christianity and God, who is the creator of it. Versus the world. And so that's kind of the tension there that we've been looking at this whole season.
Yeah. And I think that's where we get to this question for today. You know, we understand Jesus is King, you know, but the question is he my King?
Right.
It's just kind of I guess kind of like coming full circle with this album, because I think, you know, I definitely would say Kanye right now would probably not say Jesus is his king.
Right.
You know, maybe when he put out the album, he would have been like, yeah, Jesus is king. But I think, you know, in light of, and we studied that, you know, if you guys can go back to that episode so many weeks ago, and we studied about the fact that he's, you know, not really a Christian right now, and just the way he's been acting and the music he's put out since and all of that. This week, one of the songs that we're going to be looking at much later in the episode, but the song King of My Heart, which not the song by Shane and Shane that you might think it is, but the song by Taylor Swift, which is the artist that we're going to look at today. I guess another way we're coming full circle, because who's more famous than Kanye West?
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's like, well, Kanye West is like number two, and then Taylor Swift is like number one.
Probably.
When it comes to like most well-known. And I guess not just well-known, but controversial artists.
Right.
Because Taylor Swift is a very controversial artist.
Yeah, I'd definitely say so. And it's kind of, I guess, kind of fitting in a way. Like last week we looked at an artist who grew up Christian and is no longer Christian. I would say that she's atheist.
Yeah, probably.
And she's in the LGBTQ now.
Or at least like on the agnostic side.
Yeah. And even though that's not controversial, really, it does happen a lot. For families specifically, that is something controversial, especially for a Christian family. It's like, oh, well, now we got to ostracize because we don't want this person from our family who is LGBTQ or whatever to be known alongside of us. And that's not the way it works. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you've got somebody in your family who has different beliefs than you doesn't mean that you as a Christian, as a believer, just goes and ostracizes them or demonizes them or whatever, because that's not what we're called to do. Yeah, you're their enemy in a spiritual sense, but you're their enemy trying to make them an ally.
Well, we still want to reach our enemies.
Right.
I mean, we still want to love our enemies, because that's exactly what Jesus did to us.
Right.
You know, God loved us while we were still his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, we should, you know, stretch out our arms and we should love our enemies. Now, that doesn't mean that we should obviously condone what they're doing, because it's wrong. And then we should despise sin because God despises sin.
Right.
But at the same time, we should be offering love and we should be trying to reach people. You know, because what is God's desire? We see it in 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe, you know, that God desires for all to come to repentance.
Right.
Yeah, not that all will come to repentance, but that's the desire, and that should be our desire as well.
Right. And so, you know, and one thing I said last week was that it was a boring, air quote, episode, but it's not boring in the sense that it's uninteresting. It's more mundane, I guess was a better word. Something, whereas, you know, Kanye and everything that he put out is very interesting, and the whole CRT argument is very hot. And then we get to, now we're talking about non-Christians. We're talking about non-believers who have always been that way, and not somebody who, and like I said, we're talking about T Swift this week. So now we're talking about people who maybe grew up Christian and they've flat out rejected it from the beginning. And so it's more mundane. It's kind of like, well, why are you guys talking about this? Because it happens every day. And while it might not necessarily be controversial for the church as a whole, because that's kind of what people do, they're either going to deny the gospel, deny God. That's our nature as sinners. The hope is that one day, as Felipe has already said, that they come to Christ, that they come to faith. That's the desire. Not that that will necessarily happen, but us as believers, we do pray, we do share the gospel. That is our mission. That is what we're supposed to do. And so we don't stop in our own families. You know, we don't neglect our own families to go reach people outside of our family. Sharing the gospel starts with our own household and our own families. And so that's kind of what we're going to get at today a little bit.
Yeah, and to kind of like, before we get to the, you know, meat of the conversation, I want to be candid and clear. You know, we should be praying for these kinds of people.
Right.
Because there's a lot of famous people that are non-Christians. And we understand that it's hard for someone that's rich, it's hard for someone that's famous, for them to become a Christian. We see that all the time in our world. We should still be praying for those people. Because, this is kind of to help put it into perspective, but think about what would happen if Taylor Swift became a Christian, like an actual true Christian.
Right.
Think about all the resources that she has. Think about all the following that she has. Think about the impact she could have for the kingdom.
Right.
I'm not going to say that that's what's going to happen, because if we're being realistic, and if you look at history, usually that's not what happens.
Right.
It's kind of a truth that Jesus spoke. You know, you gain the world, yet you lose your soul. Because that's basically where she's at right now. She basically has the whole world in her hand.
All right.
But we should still be praying. And it's not my job to go to a famous person and try to reach them, because I don't know them.
Right.
You know, the job goes to the fellow Christians that know them, that are in their life, in their circle. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that should be reaching them. And we should be praying for them as well, that they would have that boldness to speak.
Right. And we also remember that, you know, before somebody as famous as Taylor Swift is going to become Christian, they've got to be humbled first.
Exactly.
And that humbling isn't going to come of anything that they do. It's going to be conviction by the Holy Spirit that'll come from people in their own circles. And this isn't really the main, I mean, it does get back to the title of, of today's episode, which is he my king? Is he your king? And you know, it goes back, we go to the Gospels and Jesus' teaching, and we see the rich young ruler come up, and he's like, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus is like, well, just go and sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And you see his reluctancy. And then Felipe brought this up last week. And then you get the, I don't know if it's right after that, he tells that man that, but it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle
than for a rich man. Yeah.
To enter the kingdom of heaven. And so
the ghosts have returned.
Right. They have returned. But when you gain the whole world, as scripture says, as Felipe has reiterated, you lose your soul, really. And so you deny yourself, you deny the things of this world, and then you gain life through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the message of the gospel. And that's what Jesus preached as well, repentance.
Yeah.
And we repent, we turn away from the things of this world, the material, and we look to the eternal and spiritual that only Christ can give.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of unpacking the conversation. So obviously I don't think Taylor Swift needs an introduction. I think probably almost any person, not any person alive, but anybody that's had like access to music or the internet.
Yeah. I was going to say the internet in general.
Yeah. Like most people are aware of who Taylor Swift is. I mean, she's literally like the first artist to, what is it, like make $1 billion off of a single tour or something.
Probably.
Like she's made history and like this worldwide tour that's still going on. It's been going on for over a year, I think.
Her followers are called Swifties.
Yeah.
That tells you how big she is.
Yeah. Big, big following. But I guess we start with, she did start humble, like with humble roots. You know, she was this no name, you know, girl that was like opening for all these other people. You know, she didn't really hit a big break for a while.
Right. Which is kind of how most people start.
Exactly. You know, and it's crazy that she got so big, because like, I think around the midpoint of where her career is, she was very hated.
Yeah.
Like there was a time 10, 15 years ago, I would say 10, 15 years ago, she was probably more hated than she is today.
Probably.
Now the reason people hate her is because she's popular.
Yeah,
that's literally true. Why people hate
her
now.
She's popular and she's dating Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and people are just annoyed.
And nobody likes the Chiefs.
Exactly. So that's where most of the hate for her is coming now. But back then, a lot of people, there was just so much controversy and things going on. They made fun of her and all that. But to go back to kind of her humble roots, she did grow up as a Christian. I don't know if she ever had any like faith at all, but she definitely had that teaching there. And you can see it in some of her music. You can see it almost like sprinkled in some of her earlier songs. And you can kind of see where it's revisited in a lot of her later songs, which those are the first songs we're going to look at as some of her more recent ones. And we're going to look at, you know, you can see that there was some Christian teaching, and you can see where the theology is way wrong. And you can see how much in the world she is.
Right.
But her parents are Christians. And I believe they still are like practicing Christians. Her parents are.
Yeah, which is good. And the thing I was going to say, when it comes to artists, not necessarily like Taylor Swift, any artist in general can do this, secular. They take any truth from that you find in scripture or Christian theology or Christian doctrine, and they twist it and put it into their music, whether it's verbiage or word usage from the Bible, mm-hmm. or whether that's just like a thought or idea that sounds like it could line up, and maybe it does, but it's just used in the wrong way. Any artist can do that. Not just non-Christians, mm-hmm. non-believers in Jesus Christ with Christian background like Taylor Swift, yeah. but really just about any artist.
I mean, Christians do it all the time when they take scripture out of context. Yeah. It's basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Just as bad.
So I guess let's ease in before we get to like the heavy hitters. The song Soon You'll Get Better. I sent you a bunch of these songs. I don't know if you had a chance to look at any lyrics.
I didn't get them.
No, that's okay. I kind of, at least for these first songs, I kind of figured we'd just kind of discuss a little bit of what the lyrics said. Basically, like the idea of this song is she wrote this song about her mother who had cancer and was going through stuff. But there's a line I wanted to bring up.
Right.
Where is it? Yes. Holy orange bottles. Each night I pray to you. Desperate people find faith. So now I pray to Jesus too. And I say to you, soon you'll get better. So we want to unpack that.
Yeah. Because
that is quite a lyric.
Yeah, that's quite holy orange bottles. And it's not even, first off, and you kind of just got to start with the first word that she uses, holy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word that should only be saved for God himself. And we have a men's group that Felipe and mm-hmm. I are a part of on every other Monday night, usually. And so one of the hot topics at one point was the use of the word holy. Mm-hmm. And we were going through a book. Maybe it was How It's Good to Be a Man. I believe that might have been the book.
Where it was, yeah.
And one of the things it talked about was, you know, taking this word mm-hmm. holy and using it like, oh, I'm just going to do it. I don't mean it in any way, but using the phrase like holy cow mm-hmm. or something like that. Or, you know, some people are going to be like, that's not the phrase I thought of at first. And, you know, whatever mm-hmm. phrase you thought of at first, it's a minced blasphemy mm-hmm. is how the book is used to describe mm-hmm. that language. And so, yeah, it holy is a word meant for God alone, because only God is holy. Mm-hmm. So when she's talking about the pill bottles, mm-hmm. I think what she's trying to do is say that, you know, her mom is so hooked on the medication or whatever, or the medication has become her lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what she looks to, her hope.
Yep.
And instead of Christ, instead of God, who she claims to believe in. And so when we see the word usage praying to the bottle,
mm-hmm.
the orange bottles, it's just another way of saying that's where her mom's trust and faith is. And, you know, not that we want to look to a material substance. Mm-hmm. A lot that happens a lot of times where people get hooked on a substance and they can't seem to get off of it. I don't know like what kind of substance or anything. Medical mm-hmm. drug, and you said it was about cancer, so
I think it's just like normal medication. It's right. That's what I would assume.
Right. And I guess the reason why I'm going that route is because of how the lyrics at least sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more negative, I would take it as a more negative thing.
Yeah.
I mean, at least in my background, where my parents, but there have been issues with substance abuse
mm-hmm.
and whether it's alcohol, medicated drugs, things like that. So in my mind, it's going to be taken as a negative way. And so I see that. Mm-hmm. I see that very heavily.
And I think that's really, I think you kind of hit it on its head, but it's this idea of where the trust is placed. You know, right. The trust at first it's placed in those bottles. And then I imagine what we kind of get to is like, maybe they're not working fully.
Right.
And that's where we get to like, now we're desperate and now we're looking for faith. Like, right. What can I trust in? And it's like, well, let me pray to Jesus now.
Yeah.
Which
is what you should have been doing in the first.
Exactly. And that's not only that's what you should have been doing in the first place, that's what you should be doing, at least as a Christian, you should be doing in general. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you can see the disconnect between the worldliness and the Christianity.
Right.
Because the world will tell you, you know, just go to Jesus. It'll be like, you need something, go to him. You know, basically treating him like he's, well, this is a little bit of a teaser, but like he's Santa Claus.
Right.
I had to throw that Christmas kind of tease in there.
Genie. Should have said genie.
Yeah, I should have said genie. Everybody would have been like, whoa, he's going to say Santa Claus. That's like, genie, what? But that's really like the idea here is treating Jesus like he's a genie or treating him like he's Santa Claus.
Right.
It's like, I was praying to these bottles. They're not, nothing's happening. I was trusting in them. Okay. Well, if I trust in you now, you think maybe that might work?
Right.
It's like, I'm just trying to like find something. And it's like, there's no foundation. And that's really the danger there, because a true Christian or a Christian would have already been praying and that foundation wouldn't have been shaken. It would have already been there. I mean, maybe there was be some doubt,
right?
Some fear, anxiety, because that's, we're human. That's going to be natural as part of our sin nature. It's we don't like to trust in something right. other than ourselves. That's just kind of like our nature. But that's what we need to do. And that's what I hate about that lyric.
Yeah. And Jesus is not a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
And his salvation is not a last resort either.
Mm-hmm.
There was no B option.
Yeah.
Right. And he's not option B. He's not option number two.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is their option, the only option, one.
I mean, he is the way.
He is the way. Yeah.
He is the door.
And he is the way, the door, the way, truth, and life. We talked about that this past Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Last Wednesday, same thing. But he is no other option than option one, option A.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it that way because there is, if you believe this way, there is on your end a hearkening, a listening, and to the gospel and to the conviction of the Holy Spirit for salvation purposes. Mm. That is a person's responsibility, either listen to that and give into it or to deny it. So there is kind of an option there. But in this sense, for a believer, there is absolutely 100% no other option. Because Jesus is the first and only lifeline. And like you said, Felipe, we only look to him.
Mm-hmm.
And a believer who has their foundation solidly rested, they're still going to hit hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still going to want to look somewhere else. And maybe for a time or two they might, but they'll always remember that it was best
mm-hmm.
when they were following Christ. And they were doing the will of God.
Exactly. You know, they're not going to see faith as a desperate right. resort. Like I've come to it. I'm in desperation. So now I'll go to God
right.
because I'm in desperation. Go to God first. You wouldn't be in desperation if you went to God.
Right. And you might feel like you're still in desperation, even if you go to God first. Mm-hmm. And that's just because sometimes that's how it is.
Yeah. So this one is a heavy one. It's a song, Would Have, Could Have, Should Have.
Hmm.
Which is a mouthful, I know. It's off of her, not her most recent, but her album before that, which I believe came out in 2022, if I'm correct, her Midnight's album. Basically, like, this song is basically talking about, I said basically twice, my brain is like weird. I didn't get much sleep.
It'd be like that.
I know. But she's basically, did you see me? I about said it, it again. This song is kind of like talking about how this guy ruined her. Maybe not, because, I mean, Taylor Swift does write, I think, from personal experience, but she doesn't explicitly write, if that makes sense. She kind of leaves things ambiguous usually in her writing. It's because it's relatable. She wants to make it relatable.
Right, for anybody.
That's kind of like her main thing with a lot of her writing. But it's best basically like the point of it is, you know, how this guy ruined my life, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's like would have, could have, should
have. Do we have a theory on who that guy is? No, I'm just joking.
Yes, actually, but I don't know if we're going to get into the Swifties. They come for you. They have a lot of theories about a lot of stuff, and I don't keep track of that because it's so much to keep track of, and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, we can't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, they try to analyze every single line and every single letter and be like, where does this connect? What does this mean? And all that. I'm like, look, I mean, I'm sure it probably does, but I don't think you need to go that deep. That's kind of like the idea. It's like I'll read like the first verse. If you would have blinked, then I would have looked away at the first glance. If you tasted poison, you could have spit me out at the first chance. If I was some paint, did it splatter on a promising grown man? And if I was a child, did it matter if you got to wash your hands? So you can kind of see the relationship there of this older guy and the girl was drawn to him. You kind of see where the picture is getting painted.
Yeah.
That's the context.
I guess.
This is the lyrics that I wanted to look at. Ooh.
Ooh, just ooh?
Not ooh, but I'm so sorry.
No,
all I used to do was pray. Would have, could have, should have, if you never looked my way. This is the chorus. I would have stayed on my knees, and I, there's an explicit there, sure wouldn't have danced with the devil at 19. And the God's honest truth is that the pain was heaven. And now that I'm grown, I'm scared of ghosts. Memories feel like weapons. And now that I know, I wish you left me wondering. That's kind of the...
It's a lot of lyrics.
Yes, but that's the lyrics that I wanted to get to. All I used to do was pray, and I would have, could have, should have, if you didn't look my way, and I would have stayed on my knees, and I wouldn't have danced with the devil.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yes.
So I guess do what any person does. Start with the first thing that gets talked about, prayer. Mm. Now, you could have a whole podcast itself dedicated to prayer, and every episode would be totally different.
Yes.
Aspect of prayer. And it could be like some of these shows on TV where that mess lasts like 20 seasons and you would never repeat the same thing. But in saying that, I actually kind of don't know where I was. Prayer is complicated. Okay, that's where I was going with that. Prayer is very complicated, first off. The second thing, and we'll just leave that there. The second thing is that, and this is going to sound harsh, but good thing we're in a season of controversy.
Yes.
So I don't feel one bit bad about saying this. But God is not going to listen to a sinner's prayer.
That is true.
He is not going to listen to a prayer from his enemy. And if you are not a devout believer, follower of Jesus Christ, someone who's put their faith and trust in his work on the cross, you are God's enemy, and he is not listening to you. It doesn't matter how many times you get on your knees and pray, you cry, you weep, you do whatever. You could throw up your hands, you could dance around, jump up and down, you could lie on the ground prostrate, do whatever you want to do. But I'm just going to tell you right now, and whatever you do with your prayer life, if you're not a child of God, you're going to be looking just like the people who go to the Wailing Wall every day in Jerusalem, throwing up their hands, looking at a wall, praying to God, and nothing's going to be heard. Mm-hmm. You're going to look just like the same people in Jesus' day who are doing the same thing, and you're not going to be heard.
Yeah,
because that's what they did. They threw up loud prayers, and Jesus even points them out. They're like, hey, look at these people over here and how they're praying. Mm-hmm. God doesn't hear that kind of prayer. And all they're doing is they're doing it just to be seen. And you can do things just to be seen in the privacy of your own home and in your own room on your own time when you're praying, air quote, to God. You can do it just to try to get a rise out of him. Whereas the person who is truly convicted and truly repentant and truly wants to be right with God, that is the person whose prayers he'll hear. The person who is wanting to be known by God and be a child of his.
Exactly.
He'll hear that repentant prayer, and he'll hear that cry for help. And maybe sometimes God does hear a sinner's prayer, and maybe sometimes, you know, he might answer those every once in a while. Maybe. I don't know. Mm. And it might be to show you that he is God and that he is trying to say, I'm God and I want you as mine. I want you because I created you, mm-hmm. and I died for you. And people still ignore that. And so when people ignore that, he cuts them off. And we see that plenty throughout the Bible. And our book, Malachi, good plug for right now. We'll get into it later. Mm-hmm. But it's all about Jerusalem and Israel as a whole and how they totally ignored God, did their own thing. And God said, okay, you ignored me. I'm going to ignore you and place judgment on you.
Yeah. And I don't want to like, cause it's such a, I don't want to like rush, but I didn't realize how much I knew this would be a long episode.
Yeah.
There's so much to go through. What I don't like about this song is in the fact that it puts so much blame on the other party.
Right.
It said, if it wasn't for you, I would have kept my faith. And it's verse 2, if you never touched me, then I would have gone along with the righteous. It's, you know, you make your own choices and the Bible is clear about that. And that's what I don't like about this. Where it's like, I would have stayed on my knees. I wouldn't have gone with the devil. I would have stayed with my faith and with God if you hadn't have come along.
Yeah, and that's a bold statement to make, mm-hmm. that you can, in your own work as a sinner, mm-hmm. as somebody who is unrighteous before a holy God, holy righteous God, can say that I will stand against the devil and be victorious, mm-hmm. and that I'll be on my knees and pray. And I'll do all these things that Christians do, but I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to help me do it.
Yeah,
that's a bold statement to make.
And the fact of like saying like it was ever somebody else's fault and not taking the blame for yourself.
Right.
This is the last song that I pulled, and it's got quite a title. The title of the song is False God. And
interesting.
We don't have time to go through. This is one that I would love to go through every single lyric because there's so much.
Right.
Basically, what this is talking about is looking at this relationship as her God and their love that they have between them. That's the God. And where does the...
That sounds like so many people nowadays.
I know. Let me see. Where is it? Yeah, the what's it called? The tag at the end of the song where it's like, we'll still worship this love, even if it's a false God. We'll still worship this love. And again, because we're going quick on time. This is one that I would directly recommend the leaders to go and read through the lyrics to show you, because she does a very good job of using Christian terms and terminology. Right. And if you listen to it, she does a very good job of making it sound. It's got that kind of... I'm trying to think of the way it's like that 80s, 90s kind of like Christian sounding.
Right.
You know, I know what I'm talking about. It's got that sound to it. She did a very good job of capturing it and then twisting it and making it a song not about God at all.
Right. No, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about how they use the language, they use stuff from the Bible, they use theology, kind of. They use certain doctrines and they just twist it just a little bit to make it sound good when it's not.
Yeah, and just a couple lyrics from it before we jump into like the next part of the conversation. Right. This is out of the chorus. We might just get away with it. Religion's in your lips. Even if it's a false God, we'd still worship. We might just get away with it. The altar is my hips. Even if it's a false God, we'll still worship this love. Mm. So that's just a couple lyrics. And here's another one from one of the verses. I know heaven's a thing. I go there when you touch me. Honey, hell is when I fight with you. But we can patch it up good, make confession, and we're begging for forgiveness. I've got the wine for you. And I think you can kind of see all the heresies within that. All
right.
Just the twisting. Again, understand when we say heresy, I'm not like going out there be like, that's, you know, because a lot of people have such a negative connotation to the word heresy and heretic.
But you should.
Yes, because it is not, it's bad. But it's like, these are just simple like opinions that she's making and statements that she's making that are not truth and are twisting, basically perverting what is truth.
Right.
And that's what this song does. I would definitely recommend do not listen to this song. I mean, it's a well-written song. I mean, this music sounds great and all that, but like lyrically, it's not truth. Very far from it.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to bring up because, and the only reason I want to bring this up is because you just used the word twisting.
Yeah.
And I've been reading through Mere Christianity. I'm on like technically chapter 7. It's in three parts.
It's a good book.
It is a good book. It's written by C.S. Lewis. And if you haven't read it, go and read it. It's pretty quick read, honestly. And anyway, so I'm at the part of the book where he finally gets to talking about what Christians believe. So I'm only like a chapter and a half, two chapters into that.
Yeah.
But one of the things he was talking about leading up to getting into what Christians believe is this whole idea of an absolute right and an absolute wrong. And how some people like dualists, they believe that there is there's an eternal good and there's an eternal evil, and they fight over the world in constant battle. And he brings up the point that there has to be this third outlying power that is not good or evil to determine what good and evil is. And basically one of his arguments is that evil gets all of its power from good and twists it and is just a perversion of it. And there is no evil without there being good. And there's really only good, and you only know good because there is a supreme outlier above that, which is God, and it has to be. And he determines what good is and what evil is. And evil is just, like I said, the perversion of what he says is good because it is his law. We live in his universe.
Yeah.
And he is good itself. He has to be good itself to be able to define what good is. And it's not our perception of what good is and what evil is. And because if it is, then we kind of get into what Malachi is talking about as well, where we could say evil is good mm-hmm. and good is evil.
Yeah.
And who's to tell me that the Nazis were wrong if good and evil are subjective to what people believe? So there has to be, what he's getting at is there has to be a certain unbreakable law that defines what good and evil is.
Yeah.
And it's not subjective to what we believe and what we think. And so that's kind of what we get at. And that's why I bring up the whole twisting part, mm-hmm. because that's what a lot of the world does. They take what Christianity has, says it's bad, twists it and perverts it into what they think is good.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and it's really evil.
I mean, that's what Satan's done from the beginning. There's a reason why he's called the father of all lies.
Right.
That's what he did that's what the serpent did. Mm-hmm. He twisted and he's like, is that actually what God said?
Right.
You know, he instilled doubt and twisted it and perverted, you know, what was said, what was truth.
But go read that book if you get the chance.
It's a good book. Very good book. Highly recommend it. So that's the bad.
Right.
There's a lot more bad. I didn't even talk about like the truly secular songs. He has a lot of like secular music. Because now we're going to go to the good. Because there is some good music actually that I think is actually good to listen to and to look at that she's written.
Okay.
Which is kind of the next three songs that I have. I've kind of split them up into two and one because one of them is actually a Christmas song. But before I get there, I want to talk about, you know, it's important to study this, I think.
Right.
I'm not saying that you should immerse yourself in it because we shouldn't really immerse ourselves in the world because we're not of the world. That's not where our identity lies in. Our identity lies in Christ. We should still be aware of the world because we're trying to reach it. And a really nice thing, kind of looking at our artists last week, looking at Taylor Swift this week. But the cool thing about looking at secular music is that in the same way that Christian music helps show us what Christians believe and what the Bible teaches, secular music helps teach us what the world believes and what the world teaches. And it helps show us what a non-biblical worldview looks like,
right,
and how it expresses itself in this art form that is music. And that's where I think the profit lies. And that's why I'd be like, yeah, you go listen to secular artists. It's okay. Mm. Don't be like that person. Like you can only listen to music by a Christian artist.
Right.
And the reason I say this is because there's so many Christian artists that make bad music.
Yeah. They make music that sounds secular and that sounds worse than some secular songs.
Exactly. There's some songs that are secular, but they're like, this is actually a really good song and it has nothing to do with, you know, anything like sinful.
Right.
There's so many music that's like that. I guess so much music would be the proper way to say that. But two songs, two very different songs. These ones I kind of, you know, we talk a lot about the like Jesus is my boyfriend song.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the twist on it. The my boyfriend is Jesus. If that makes sense.
And we'll have to get into it.
Well, we'll unpack it. Basically, it's taking this song that's about a boyfriend or an ex, or basically a relationship, and be like, actually, this song is actually about Jesus. Also.
Maybe it could be twisted that way. I twisted isn't even a good word because you can't twist the wrong thing and make it good. You twist the good and make it wrong.
Yeah.
But
I think what it is you can see the truth in the bad. Because truth is absolute. So even with it being where it's placed, there's still some truth in there. And we have to understand that because there's a lot of music about love. There's a lot of music about relationships. All that is a picture of God's love. Right. We understand that one aspect of marriage, it's not the point of the entire point of marriage, but a major aspect of marriage is to show the unity between two people and how that mirrors the unity seen in God.
Right.
You know, that relationship between humans and God, you see that same relationship between a husband and a wife. That unity and that coming together. And I think that's why in songs about love, you can almost, even though they're not about God and they're not about Jesus, you can be like, but actually, like maybe it could be.
Kind of sounds like it.
So the song that I'll be bringing up is the song King of My Heart, which...
Kind of fitting.
Exactly. I was like, that's the perfect song with the title. And understand that the main purpose of the song is she's obviously not talking about God. She's obviously talking about some guy.
Right.
So we got to keep that in mind. But this is the chorus. All at once, you are the one I have been waiting for, king of my heart, body, and soul. All at once, you're all I want. I'll never let you go, king of my heart, body, and soul. dude, you could put that in a Bethel song and like throw some other lyrics in there and people would be like, yeah, that's okay.
They'd eat it up.
Like they would.
That's crazy.
They would 100% eat it up.
But I mean, yeah, it just, it goes back to what we've been saying, kind of the, you take truth and twist it. And it's just like a, I wouldn't say a parallel, I don't know. Like if Christianity is one line, then I don't know if she's trying to get us close to that line and go in the same direction, but it just veers off one way. It's hard to explain.
I think it's just a truth that exists because in the same way that she's like, you know, this, my boyfriend, he's the king of everything that I am.
Yeah.
That's in the same way when it comes to our relationship with God. I mean, God is the king of everything that we are.
Which is crazy.
And I think that's why you just see the parallels there.
Yeah.
So I just think that's an interesting point because I think there's a lot of secular music that's like this.
Right.
And we don't even think about it.
But yeah, it so heavily lines up with Malachi. And it's just, that's another thing that gets talked about, how God is the only God. He's the true God. And that he is Lord and he demands right worship and sacrifice. Yeah. And he demands to be rightfully in his place in people's hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when, well, I mean, even believers do that same thing. They don't always put God in his rightful place.
Yeah.
I guess in their mind. God is always in his rightful place. Okay. Let's just get that straight. But it's, we fail to recognize that. Go. That's a good way to put
there
it.
You go.
We fail to recognize that. And so what we do is we, in a sense, do not put God in his rightful place. We put him on the back burner, so to speak. Or we put him, I guess if you want to go back to the genie aspect, we put him in our pocket, you know, and just pull him out when we need him, something like that. And we don't, he's not first priority.
Yeah.
And then we get to this, you know, where we're calling other people king of my life, king of my heart and soul. It's like, what?
Well, technically it's God and he is our king. So I just thought that was a really interesting point. Before we get to this penultimate song, look at me bringing out these thesaurus words.
Big words.
Big words. Our second to last song. I figured let's jump into Malachi a little bit since we've kind of been in and around Malachi, but we haven't jumped fully in.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, there's nothing really controversial about Malachi.
Not that I know of. Prophecy, I guess?
Yeah, it's prophetic.
I don't know.
Doesn't it have that verse about what God desires for us to do?
That's Micah.
That's in Micah?
That's in Micah. Love, mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with your God.
Isn't there a verse like that in Malachi? Full disclosure, I did not read Malachi in preparation for this recording.
That's fine, because I didn't read the lyrics for
It worked out. It worked out perfectly.
You know, he's got one end, I've got the other end.
Isn't there something near the end of Malachi? Maybe I'm just like confusing it. I could be just confusing it with Micah.
Malachi and Micah are very similar in name.
Not in content, but in name. I guess I guess somewhat in content, but not really.
I mean,
also I don't have my Bible to check either.
Man, kind of slacking this week. Sleeping.
I know.
No, but not really. It talks about I mean, I guess it does talk about Jesus.
It does.
In a sense, truth found on his lips, walks with me in peace and uprightness. So I guess, you know, in a sense, there is this idea of justice and mercy, but that's kind of in regard to God himself.
Mm.
But for the most part, kind of just talking about once you get past chapter 1 and 2, a messenger coming later on. And I don't know, when I read Malachi, what I get is heavy prophecy of, and this could just be me reading into things, but I see a lot of it speaks to how I see John the Baptist.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
A messenger. I mean, specifically like chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. I mean, come on now. That's like literally John the Baptist. And then the end of the book. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. I mean, I guess you could take that to be a lot, to be John the Baptist as well, because a lot of people thought he was Elijah.
No, absolutely.
But that could also be taken as literal at the coming, the next coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Elijah comes back, however you'd like to see that. But no, there's a big focus on the people here. God is talking to Israel through a dude named Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, his problem is that their offerings suck.
Yeah.
And that they have profaned the temple. They have profaned God's name.
Mm-hmm.
They have made a mockery of him. Even though, and this is kind of what we get at the beginning, I have loved you, is not Esau Jacob's brother, yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I hated. And so, what does that mean? Israel is Jacob, and that's who God loved. But we see God's love turn and become,
mm-hmm.
not hate, but he despises the people for what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're at. We're at people who have good things, like they have the temple. They have, they worship God freely. They have this land that they've been given by God. They have a covenant with God. They have these promises from God himself. They've got prophets in their midst, and yet they've got a king, but now they have a split kingdom. They do what all the other nations do. They basically, through their actions, say they hate God, and then they question why all these bad things are happening to them, and they wonder why these bad things are happening to them, even though they're kind of causing it themselves. They're bringing their own destruction on them, and God calls them out.
Yeah.
And that's where, and this is kind of what I was talking about earlier, but in chapter 2, right at the end of, it's the last verse of the chapter, you have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? So this is the questioning coming in, by saying everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or by asking, where is the God of justice? So it's kind of what I was talking about earlier, yeah. with the perversion of good and having to know what good is before knowing what evil is,
mm-hmm.
and evil just being a twisting of good, and there having to be a set standard above both of those in order to know what is what and which is which.
Yeah. And I did do a little bit of research just now. I do actually. I think I mistake Malachi with Micah. I don't know why. Is it just because
it's so easy?
They just, in my brain, like the content of them, I was like, my lips were saying Malachi, but my brain was thinking fully Micah and the entire thing of Micah. But it's true, because I pulled it up here on my laptop as you were kind of going. I pulled up a couple of the verses. But I definitely think you see that this idea of, you know, John the Baptist and just this preparedness. But again, this idea of twisting good into evil. And I mean, not to, I guess, reiterate what you were saying earlier, but I think there's a lot of truth in that. We need to stop viewing good and evil as opposing forces and really just view good as absolute and evil as a perversion of that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a much better mentality and way, or I guess perspective is probably the better word on how we should view good and evil.
Yeah. And those aren't even my own words. Those are from C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
So if you want anybody to thank C.S. Lewis for taking his time to write Mere Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But Malachi is a really short book. I don't even know what controversy is in here.
I don't think there's any controversy in there at all. I guess the stuff, the content that he's talking about is kind of controversial.
Yeah, that might be why we ended up picking this book, was because the content is controversial.
Do you know why we picked this book? Because I thought it was Micah.
Well,
because I think that's the book I had in mind.
Probably.
But I think Malachi works because of where I was thinking about this earlier, and I was like, it's fitting. You know, it's the end of the Old Testament.
And we're at the end of the season?
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
But I think that there's some definite truths in there and things that we should be aware of. And again, I think Malachi is another beautiful example of prophecy being fulfilled. Because I think we definitely see a lot of that prophecy being fulfilled in the messenger that comes, you know, namely John the Baptist. Because right. if you, I guess, kind of like looking at the history, we understand that after Malachi, that's it.
Right.
You know, God stops.
Like 400 years.
Yeah, God stopped speaking for a long time. He just, it's not like, not that God disappeared, But essentially the age, is age of prophets the best way to put it? I don't know. The Old Testament age, kind of.
Yeah, age of prophets will be.
But, you know, with Malachi, it just kind of ends. And now it's just a time of waiting and waiting and waiting. And then we see it fulfilled in that John the Baptist comes and he prepares the way for Jesus. And I think it's just beautiful. I definitely, you know, you guys, if you guys haven't read Malachi, you should.
Yeah, I guess. And after reading, I mean, I say reading like I didn't read this earlier, but kind of going back and rereading some stuff, I guess there is this idea of what God wants the people to do in chapter 3.
See, I wasn't confused.
No, but it's not like exactly the same as what you were talking about.
No, because the content is very different. I was thinking about the verse in Micah.
Yeah. But it says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And the people say, how will we return?
Yeah.
And God's response is bring the full tithe into the storehouse so there may be food in my house. And then later on, then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. This is all chapter 3.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Now that you said it, I remember.
And yeah, chapter 3 is a lot of this idea of going back to serving God. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the day of the Lord, which you can do your, maybe that's controversial. The day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? I don't know, but
I mean, it's the day of destruction, the day of judgment. I don't think there's a lot of like debate over what it means. I think debate is over when it happens. I think it's more what the debate is over.
Yeah. I think Steve says there's a difference between the day of the Lord and the day of God, something like that.
Or like people will be like, there's been like multiple days of the Lord.
Yeah.
That it's just like an overall term of like his judgment being poured out.
And there's, that's what it is. It's like there's been multiple like lowercase day of the Lord.
Yeah.
But there's like one uppercase day of the Lord.
The day.
Yeah. I think not that that's controversial. Maybe it is.
I think a lot of people have arguments over it's just the eschatology thing.
Right.
Of like the when everything happens.
But I mean, putting it in this book is kind of fitting because, it's a book about judgment on the people for basically being evil and perverting justice and goodness and righteousness.
Yeah. So I think there's a really cool shift here, I guess, connection between this next song I wanted to look at by Taylor Swift, her song Daylight, which, by the way, we picked 3 songs off of 1 album because I would almost say that album is one of her biggest ones for showing her beliefs. Because that is also the album that has a song about LGBT and about how she supports it, which again, another sign of how she's probably not a Christian. We had that whole discussion in the Lauren Daigle episode.
Yeah. And and that's what's crazy. Let's just pause there for a second because I'm not going to talk about non-Christians supporting LGBT because they're going to do whatever they do. We talked about that last week. But there is a plethora of people who want to call themselves Christians who support LGBT rights. And I'm like, first off, what even is LGBT rights? Because all people have the same rights.
Exactly.
Second off, no Christian anywhere in the, no true Christian anywhere in the world is going to support a gay person.
That's
or a lesbian or a homosexual or a queer, because that's in the name, or a transgender. They're not going to support it. I'm just here to tell you right now. Not that we hate you, not that we can judge you in any way, but no Christian who is truly of a repentant and reformed heart and mind is going to support you. Mm-hmm. That's the end of that.
And it's the same thing. I mean, it's just a perversion.
Yeah.
A perversion of what is truth into, you know, perversion of what is good into evil. That's where we get to, I believe it's called the Queen James Bible.
Yeah, Queen, fitting for this day and age because people are soft.
That's why it's called that, is because that's the Bible that supports LGBT and all of that.
That's crazy.
Basically takes out all the verses that speak against it, is basically what it does, or like translates them slightly different so that it's not in there.
Yeah, and see, man, that's funny because people want to bring up this whole argument of, oh, where does the Bible talk about homosexuality? Where does it talk about it being a sin? Where does it talk about...
I'm like, very clearly.
And it's like, okay, if it doesn't talk about homosexuality being a sin, and adultery being a sin, and there being all this sexual immorality, mm-hmm. which homosexuality and all the LGBTQ things are under that umbrella, mm-hmm. then why are we taking out verses exactly. if the Bible doesn't speak on it?
Exactly.
So let's just really sit here and think logically about that for a second. And that's kind of going back to controversy of Christianity as a whole. That's kind of the controversy behind Christianity. Mm-hmm. If it's not true, then why are people so pressed against it? Mm-hmm. Why are people so hard against Christianity?
Yeah.
It's the most hated religion in the world. And if it isn't true, then why even hate it? Mm-hmm. Then why even push back against it if it's not true?
Yeah.
And maybe by all the pushback, just maybe that should be enough evidence for it being true.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, the song Daylight, this is a song that I would definitely put like a song I really like by her, just because of, I guess, kind of the implications on like, if you just like look at some of the lyrics on what it's about. So the song is called Daylight. I definitely want to get into
this song.
You might have, I want to get into the chorus for sure. That's the main lyrics. But like there's this lyric right here in one of the verses says, there are so many lines that I've crossed unforgiven. And I'm like, that's okay. A powerful line right there. This is a very like introspective song. But here's the chorus. It says, I don't want to look at anything else now that I saw you. I don't want to think of anything else now that I thought of you. I've been sleeping so long in a 20-year dark night, and now I see daylight. I only see daylight. And for me, I think that's a very good allegory for a sinner coming to repentance.
Right. And no, I agree with you. And because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see, let's just go to the Gospels. We see it with any of the blind people that Jesus healed, right? They were truly blind, mm-hmm. couldn't see anything, and then Jesus restores their sight. And they come to repentance. Mm-hmm. Same with people who were lame, meaning that they couldn't use one or both or some of their mm-hmm. limbs. More than likely, they couldn't walk. And then they're healed. And, I mean, we don't know what happened to those people afterwards.
Yeah.
We kind of get a testimony that for most of them, we assume were saved mm-hmm. and were probably more than likely repentant after having something like that happen. Don't really know. But yeah, we go from darkness mm-hmm. and the Bible teaches that clearly. We go from being in darkness to being pulled out by God into light.
Yeah.
Marvelous light, as I believe John would say.
Yeah. And, the context of the song, she's basically talking about love is right. what caused this change essentially. And kind of like her viewing of love is what, if you can kind of understand. So that's like the context of it. But I think a much more powerful context is for a believer to look at this and be like, you know, that's kind of like what it was like to undergo that conversion. I mean, I'm not going to say like the entire song as a whole embodies that, cause it doesn't. There's a lot of lyrics that you're like, she's talking about love. She's talking right. about a relation, not really a relationship, but she's talking about specifically love. But it's just like, even like the subtext on a chorus, you know, I don't want to look at anything else. Now that I saw you, I can never look away. I don't want to think of anything else. Now that I thought of you, things will never be the same. I've been sleeping so long in a 20-year dark night. Now I'm wide awake, and now I see daylight. I can only see daylight. And I'm like, just the chorus right there. I'm like, so powerful lyrics, and I love them. Absolutely love them. Now that might be about it for the rest of the song, because a lot of the rest of the song talks about. Again, it's a very like introspective, personal song
right.
about herself, essentially. But I mean, just that chorus right there, I love it.
Good chorus.
I wish we had more songs like that. And this is by
that were by Christians.
And this is like a non-Christian writing this.
I mean, it's still pretty shallow though, but we get what she means.
Exactly. So is that the end of the Taylor Swift iceberg?
Yeah. Not much of an iceberg. That's more like a ice cube.
Did you say ice cube?
Yeah, an ice cube. Not much there.
Well, is this where we do the shift?
This is where we go to our Christmas shift. We talk. Oh man, spoiled it.
Oh, dang. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Early Christmas.
Early Christmas.
We're still a month away from Christmas, so I'm not going to say Christmas yet.
Because Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet. Thanksgiving is next week.
No, Thanksgiving is in 3 days.
Yes, of the day of this coming out. Yes.
When you're listening to this, Christmas is in 3 days.
Exactly.
Now, as of recording this, it's a week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but definitely, I guess this is, we're gonna like take a step back before we jump back in. Spoiler alert.
Wait. Oh. I guess I will say Merry Christmas in case. Wait, I don't know.
We'll talk about that later. That's for us to know and for you guys to find out in a little bit. Is that
too many? Yeah.
But spoiler alert, I have one more song by Taylor Swift, and I would actually classify this as a Christian song.
I still don't even know what song this is. I've been waiting just as long as you listeners have. I don't think
you've ever heard this song before. This song came out.
Silent Night.
Actually, she did do a cover of Silent Night. That's not the one I'm talking about, but she does have a cover of Silent Night.
That was just the first Christmas song that popped into my head.
But she does have a Christmas album.
I believe, who doesn't have a Christmas album?
This Christmas album, I believe, there it is. It came out in 2007.
So is this an original Christmas song or?
This is technically, so first her, Taylor Swift, more history on her. Her first album came out in 2006, self-titled debut album. In 2007, she released a holiday EP with, I believe, 5 or 6 songs. One of them is an original song. And
that's the one we're looking at.
That's the song that we're going to look at. Are we jumping straight there? I don't know if I like had anything else to like do before we jumped into that. We were talking something about Christmas.
Oh yeah. We got to say that for later.
Is that what we were talking? My brain is like completely frazzled.
I mean, I guess Merry Christmas. You already said Merry Christmas. That's what I mean.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And I wish we had some Thanksgiving music. We don't really have any like Thanksgiving songs. There's one that we can.
We did Thanksgiving episode season one.
What's the song about thankfulness? Isn't there a song about thankfulness? Is that the song that we looked at last year for Thanksgiving?
I don't even know. What song did we do? Gratitude.
I'm looking it up. Oh, we did look at gratitude. The whole point of the episode was gratitude.
Yeah.
I see it now that I pulled it up and I was like, what was the episode about? I mean, yeah, we should be grateful. We should be thankful for the things that we have. I guess that's my Thanksgiving spiel.
Yeah. I don't know. It's come up too fast and I haven't even thought about what I'm thankful or grateful for.
Yeah. I'm thankful and grateful for Christmas.
I guess I'll just do the generic answer. I'm grateful for life, my life and other people's lives.
Yeah. So Christmas, not to like make light of being thankful and Thanksgiving and all that. We should be. It's amazing. Great holiday. Great time to spend time with your family and watch football, especially watch football.
If you're into that.
And be with your family, because that's also important.
Be with your family, that's more important.
Probably is.
Be thankful for your family.
Yes. But kind of, so the song is titled Christmas Must Be Something More, which I don't know how we should. I mean, I guess I could just read it.
Go for it.
Because
I don't have the lyrics.
Verse 1. What if ribbons and bows didn't mean a thing? Would the song still survive without 5 golden rings? Would you still want to kiss without mistletoe? What would happen if God never let it snow? What would happen if Christmas carols told a lie? Tell me, what would you find? You'd say that today holds something special, something holy and not superficial. So here's to the birthday boy who saved our lives. It's something we all try to ignore and put a wreath up on our door. So here's something you should know that is for sure. Christmas must be something more. And I mean, that's verse 1 in the chorus. In the final chorus, she changes it and says, so here's to Jesus Christ, who saved our lives. Very different from any other music she has put out.
It really is. You said one line and I was about to... when she said, if God didn't let us know.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, you'd be living in North Carolina.
Which is funny because we actually have a freeze advisory tonight and a snow advisory.
And we're not even at... Do we really?
In the mountains, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
I got so excited. I was like, snow advisory. I was like, what?
Yeah, we live in the middle of the state. You get rain.
Yeah, we don't get snow. We get rain.
It's either rain or it's hot.
Yeah.
Anyway. Man, it's so, yeah, you're right. It's kind of very different from, you can still tell that she doesn't believe that, though.
Well, yeah.
And... But it does bring in a good point, though, because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So whether people want to or not, it's going to happen. And whether they believe it or not, it's going to happen. I think that's just a great example of it,
mm-hmm.
of somebody who isn't a Christian proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, whether they want to or not.
It's crazy.
It is.
I really like this song. It's very Christmassy. It's very Christmas sounding. That's the whole point of it.
More Christmassy than the actual Christmas songs.
Honestly, you could just throw this into a Christmas playlist. I mean, I guess it is on a Christmas playlist. They play it.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Well, it's because they don't play the song. They play Santa Baby.
Yeah.
Because everybody likes Santa Baby.
No, they play Mariah Carey's, whatever it is.
Okay, but that one I actually like.
Not me.
Santa Baby, I don't like. And are we fully talking? This is a teaser, by the way, for not next week, but our next episode. Spoiler alert. Season three is over, but it's not over. We're going to have a couple filler episodes here and there in between seasons.
Hopefully. That's the plan.
I think the Christmas one probably will definitely happen.
Yeah.
I don't know anything past that.
Yeah, we got to have a Christmas episode.
Yeah, come on. It's Christmas. It's not the best holiday for the Christian, but the second best holiday for the Christian.
Right.
Best holiday would be Resurrection Sunday, not Easter. Christians, we don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday. There is a difference. Very important difference.
Still call it Easter, but...
Yeah. But talking about Christmas songs, I hate Christmas songs that have baby in the title. I think every Christmas song with baby in the title, I'm like, I don't like it.
I think that's why we have the one... Joy to the World? Yeah. Mm. Joy to the World. Where you're always like, this is about the second coming of Jesus.
Oh, it's not about baby Jesus.
Yeah,
we're not talking about baby Jesus. We're talking about grown Jesus.
Jesus.
It's made me think of the Talladega Night scene.
Where they're praying.
Very sacrilegious scene.
Yeah, they're praying and he's like, I like Jesus as a baby Jesus. He grew up.
I know, he's like, the Christmas story is my best, so I pray to baby Jesus because the Christmas story is my favorite story.
It's so dumb.
And then she's like, Jesus was a man. He had a beard.
Yeah, that was the grandpa.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Crazy.
But I mean, it's...
It is true, though.
Yeah.
But Jesus did grow up.
We
celebrate his birth. It's the Son of God. But he did grow up.
I wish we had more holidays about Jesus.
I mean...
We celebrate his birth. We celebrate his death.
I mean, but...
And we celebrate the resurrection.
I mean, we could do Feast of Tabernacles and Passover.
I guess.
I mean, then you're getting into the Jewish holidays.
Look,
at this point, those holidays might as well be pagan anyway, because most Jews don't even believe Jesus is Messiah.
Well, some of them.
So why don't we just give it meaning?
Some of them we could celebrate. I don't know why this turned into a...
Passover.
Into a holidays. Yeah, Passover. I was thinking of Purim. Because that's
I don't even know what Purim is.
We talked about that on the Esther episode.
Oh, we did.
That's the
holiday where they give.
That's the holiday where they commemorate everything that happened with Esther.
And they give the gifts. That's right.
Yeah. I think that's a fun one to celebrate. Why don't you just throw that in there somewhere?
That's basically Christmas.
It is basically Christmas. I guess it's the Jewish Christmas. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a cool holiday. I mean, if you've ever...
Get two Christmases, hey.
If you have the luxury of being invited, to... I guess the luxury of actual Jews, because they're very...
Right.
Close off to the outside. They're very, what's the word I'm looking for? Exclusive when it comes to their holidays and stuff like that with outsiders. But if you can find a group of Messianic Jews, people that were Jews, but they became Christians, but they're still Jews. Because there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're not commanded to be like that. But if they grew up as a Jew, there's nothing wrong with them continuing to practice.
Why not? It gives more meaning to their holidays and traditions.
Exactly. But if you ever have the luxury, you should go celebrate Purim. I mean, they dance, which is crazy. Coming from a Baptist context.
Yeah, Baptists don't dance.
They dance like crazy, like a whole lot of dancing, and they eat and they exchange gifts. They read the entire book of Esther, which that's cool.
Fitting, as I should, because
that's the point of it.
Right.
But again, look at that. We're ending right at the perfect time. Look, when it comes to, I guess, kind of capstoning this whole secular artist, it's the same thing. Look for the prophet. Don't think that everything they say is going to be profitable in truth because they're of the world. And if they're of the world, they're not of God. So we shouldn't like act like they're the words that they're saying are truth, because they're not always going to be that way. But I think it's a beautiful thing to look at what these people with a different worldview believe, because it can help us in how we can reach them, and it can help us to really just understand their perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Jesus. What did Jesus do? He went and dined with those that the Pharisees were like, why are you going with them? They're sinners. They're tax collectors. You know, why are you going and hanging out with them?
Excuse me. I was yawning. Oh,
you're good.
Yeah. And we don't, and what we don't do is by understanding their worldview, try to right off the bat deconstruct it.
Yes.
That's not the point. The point is to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. The deconstructing can come later when the gospel invades and realigns their worldview with God's word and with God himself. And so that is not our job to change anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not our job to see that these are like, let's just talk since we're on Taylor Swift and you know, the Christmas song, but it's not our job to say, I get what you're saying, but you're not Christian. You don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the gospel. And then, but here's all these other things that you've also got to believe as well. We don't change any worldviews.
Exactly.
We let the gospel, not just the gospel, we let the whole entirety of scripture renew a person's mind, because that's what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, it's something that I really care about, is the danger of behavior modification, of changing, trying to change the outside, trying to change beliefs and actions, and you don't even do anything about the heart. Every action and everything you do is going to come from your heart. And there's only one person, I guess person's not the best way to put it. Only God can change the heart. A person can't change somebody else's heart. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
And I think I really like what you're saying, because a lot of times when we hear about people that have different worldviews, Christians, we are so quick to antagonize and to try to break it down and be like, you're wrong. And here's how you're wrong. And this is what's wrong about it. Our weapon is not argument. Our weapon is not our words. And it's not like an eloquent speech, which Paul talks about.
All right.
Our weapon is simple. Our weapon is the gospel. That's what we use. We let the gospel attack, and that'll go to the heart. It'll go to somebody's conscience, and the Holy Spirit will work. That's what our focus should be. That's what we should be using. And it's like you said, that's what'll come afterwards. Once the gospel invades somebody's heart, it'll start to change, and it'll change their mind. And all of a sudden, things that they used to believe, they no longer believe. Their beliefs change.
Yeah, and it's not just, it's like you're saying, it's not the mind that changes, because you can change your mind all the time.
Yeah.
But it's the heart that changes. And when the heart changes, it hopefully changes for good, and it's a true change. And we don't do that. God does that. The Holy Spirit does that. And so we don't put ourselves in place of God trying to change anybody.
Yeah. So to kind of end out the series, basically season three, a series of controversy. Is that going to be the subtext? I have no idea.
Yeah. Series of controversy. Everything we said is controversial.
Yeah. But I mean, that's
even how I just said controversial.
Where we started, you know, Jesus is King. And now the question, is he my King?
Right.
And I mean, we've looked at a lot. I'm kind of like looking at the season back. We've looked at, you know, apostates. We've looked at the danger of tradition and culture. We've looked at, you know, specific lyrics in Christian music. And where did we go from there? From there, we talked about this idea of people that have different beliefs.
Right.
Than what the Bible teaches. And then to just people that are, you know, completely not even Christian.
Right.
And I mean, I think it's been an interesting 12 weeks.
Yeah. And I think honestly, we've hit kind of all the, main controversies.
In recent times, yeah. At least Christian wise, we've hit some pretty big ones.
Like, I mean, we've hit LGBTQ, hit that the past 2 weeks. We've hit CRT.
Yeah, CRT.
We've hit Catholicism.
Yeah.
And I mean, now Catholicism, that's 2,000 years worth of controversy.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go do your own study on Catholicism. And people still hate Catholicism. People hate Christianity.
Yeah.
But man, they're like, I guess those are the main two as far as the hot topics for, and we didn't even hit LGBTQ all that hard anyway, but
no, we didn't.
We've been through so much as far as what's controversial in the Christian realm.
I mean, even episode one was kind of controversial. It wasn't even about controversy.
Not Forrest Frank, but
we were talking about Elevation's new album with some interesting songs.
Oh yeah. We were talking about that.
We did talk a lot about we talked a lot about prophecy.
We did.
Which is pretty controversial.
As far as talking about scripture goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've talked about prophecy. We've talked about
speaking in tongues.
Did we talk about speaking in tongues?
I don't know. I think we did. I mean, we looked at 1 and 2 Corinthians, so I assume we did.
Oh my word. Yeah. Speaking in tongues, probably talked about a little bit of what love really is.
Yeah.
How we talked about Esther.
Yeah.
And if that's even supposed to be included, man, there's a lot. Yeah.
I think it's been a different season from what we've done before, but I think it's been kind of like we've been all over the place.
Kind of feels like it.
But at the same time, like we've come full circle.
Right.
We started with a controversial person. We're ending with another controversial person.
If you want to call them controversial.
And people that actually are.
They are controversial.
They're controversial with each other too.
Yeah.
Which is another full circle moment, I guess. Which you guys can read
people,
about.
You know, it's kind of funny.
You can read about all that in the tabloids.
People hate both Kanye and Taylor Swift for one reason or another.
It's true.
So they're not too different, honestly.
No, they're not.
So I don't know what else there is to say because this is the end of the line
for
season 3.
Y'all, I guess, keep up with us. We haven't plugged anything in a long time.
No plugs.
See, like episode one, like not of the series, but of the season, that might have been the last time we plugged anything.
I don't even know what that was.
But obviously, you're listening to us either on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts is where you're listening to us right now. Or you're watching us on YouTube, which I don't know what camera we're on.
We're on that one.
Or that one right there. I'm like looking at all the cameras.
I didn't even point to the camera. I pointed like at the door behind the camera.
Oh.
But anyway.
You guys maybe check us out on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. I believe it's at The Upper Room Discourse.
Yeah, just the name of the podcast.
Yeah, we're on Instagram. That's probably where you'll see a lot of the news. We're probably going to start posting. I know I've been kind of slacking to posting.
Yeah, it's just that time of year.
Yeah, but my words are like, I guess we've reached the end, so I probably should take a break.
Yeah, so our brains reached the end.
But keep an eye on that. There's going to be stuff being posted in the off season, whether it be like clips. Yeah, we've said that at the same time, jinx, I guess. Whether it be clips that we're showing off or just things in general, we might have a couple posts or something here and there. But just keep up with us. Keep your eye out on Christmas because if everything goes to plan, we should have something out around Christmas time.
Hopefully so. Go back and listen to old episodes.
Yeah.
If you want to. And just, I don't know, I guess see a progression from, you know, season one all the way to
in the old room.
Yeah. Not just like a progression from the topics we go over, but progression literally from one room to a different room.
Yeah.
So, but I guess with that, we're out of here. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm not even gonna say don't eat too much because this is the time to eat too much.
Eat just enough.
Be thankful for it.
I think that's this is us signing off.
We're out of here.
Thank you for listening to The Upper Room Discourse. Join us next week for more discussions in The Upper Room.